I want to welcome everybody to today's teleseminar. Today's teleseminar is sponsored by Annie Jennings Public Relations. Recently, they were recognized by Entrepreneur Magazine as a leader in the public relations profession. They recognize Annie's visionary success in developing the pay-for-placement public relations model, where you, the client, only pays for public relations results. Annie and her staff takes all the upfront risk of creating your personalized press materials and pitching you to the media, and will only accept payment when you are successfully placed in the national media. Annie also lectures nationwide on issues related to marketing, promotions, and public relations, and AnnieJenningsPR.com has become one of the fastest-growing and essential tools for educating and empowering people to the ins and outs of the PR industry. Annie Jennings PR offers the industry's most powerful radio campaign. Her programs include the Hot 25 and Hot 50 radio campaigns that offer something from everyone from creating expert status, building a powerful platform, to sharing your message with millions nationwide, and mega launching your new book. Annie Jennings, as always, a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's always wonderful to be here, especially today. So I think there's some myths out there that we should really talk about to see if they are true or not. You know, the media is changing all the time. The shows are changing all the time. So we're really driving forward in this business. So I'd like to talk about some new trends, too. Things that may have been true a year or two ago may not be true anymore.
No, there's no question about that. I think, Annie, even if you look at, you know, what's currently on, let's just stick with, for just a moment,
sure,
daytime television talk.
Yes.
You know, there isn't as much as there were just 2 years ago. There aren't as many shows as there once were.
No, there's very little feature story opportunities right now. So we're becoming a very news-driven society in terms of news shows. Even the local shows, like we have here a New Jersey, a Good Morning New Jersey, or a New Jersey, let's say News 12 here. You may have something in your community called a Good Morning Arizona. They are moving more and more to an all-news format where they used to have guests who would tour. And a lot of guests who would tour the country would be people with books, the nonfiction books, but of the relationship, you know, lighter type of topic. And they'd love to have these guests on, which is why tours at one point were so popular. Now, tours are no longer as popular because there's less and less shows for everyone to get booked on because of the news-driven format that's worked so well for, Tony, let's see if you know, the network on at night, well, network on all
well,
day.
Well, Fox News, obviously.
Exactly. Fox News has, they're a leader. We know they're a leader in their field, and they have transformed the TV industry. Their ratings are through the roof, and they're skyrocketing everywhere. Well, obviously, if one thing is working for one organization, other organizations need to look for it and see, well, why is it working? And then try to adjust and adapt their programming to also achieve that kind of success.
Now, Annie, and that's just one example, television talk shows. And certainly we can throw O'Reilly and others into that mix. But it's the time of day has shifted. And again, but that's just one example. Radio has changed drastically as well. There was a time where, and you and I have actually been kind of putting our heads together on this quite a bit lately. There was a time where you could get on a radio show and, you know, unabashedly talk about your book, how to get it, the toll-free number, the website, and those rules have changed. Talk radio sounds more news-driven than it does entertainment-driven for the most part.
Well, yes, exactly. Which is why you, as publicists and as a media trainer, Tony, we have a responsibility, I feel, to keep our antennas up and know how the industry is changing, continually adjust and adapt ourselves to prepare our clients better, to pitch better, to actually secure the segments for our clients. If we're pitching old-fashioned and we're doing things the old-fashioned way, we're not going to get anywhere in this new driven environment that we have. So we are, as professionals, need to change.
No question about it. So anyway, let's talk about some of the do's and don'ts of working with the media, because with there being not necessarily fewer opportunities, but more people going after the opportunities that are there, you really need to be ahead of the curve and just figuring out what to and what not to do.
Well, that's true. All right. So we could talk maybe about some of the hate, some of the things that producers hate. And I use hate, but some of the things that producers would prefer that you did not do when
content. You know, maybe hate is the more accurate word, Annie, because, you know, producers are so stressed from the moment they get there in the morning to the moment they leave at night. And trust me, it's morning to night.
Yes, it is.
You know, there are certain things that do grate on them. There are things that they're eventually going to hate. So it's good to know what not to do.
Well, this is going to be fun because we're going to be able to really tell you some of the things that really do work. And sometimes I wonder why in the industry I'm unchallenged with the Top 25 radio campaign and why I don't see more of my competitors offering the exact same things. And it's because it is so difficult to produce the Top 25 radio campaign because of the reasons we're going to talk about today. You need to know how to pitch. You need to know how to follow up. You need to know where, who, what. I mean, everything has so skilled to a T that most people can't do it in order to book these big shows. So we'll give you some of the secrets of why we're able to book these big shows, because we avoid doing things that producers hate.
All right, so we'll also tell people what producers like as well. We're gonna give you all the tools for the toolbox today.
Yeah, and Tony, what I'd like to do is also bring you a lot into this conversation as being the producer of your own nationally syndicated talk show, and you've done over 10,000 or maybe much more than that interviews too.
Yeah, I'm in about the $20,000 range now. I wish $20,000. $20,000
per interview. Well, that's what I pay you.
Really?
Just call me Oprah.
Okay, thank you, O.
You know what's funny? Remember the time I helped you book your show for just a short period of time? We were just hanging out, and I was helping him book his show for maybe a week. Man, I had new respect. Didn't you, Tony? Could you believe it?
Well, I mean, none of it surprised me. Why don't we start with that one? Because one of the things that producers hate is that you don't know who you're pitching.
Well, exactly. You don't know who you're pitching, or you don't know what the segment is.
Now, I don't mean you don't know the person personally. I mean you have no idea what the show's about and what their format is.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're not targeting the media outlet correctly. Well, that's true. I mean, that is absolutely true.
I mean, wasn't that the number one negative experience when you were helping me book the show for that period of time?
Oh, yeah. You specifically asked for a certain criteria of expert to discuss a certain topic in a certain aggressive format, because that's the quote-unquote profile of your show. The last thing you wanted was a personal growth expert with a fluff or a soft touch for the interviews. You wanted hard-hitting, controversial guests that would really stir up some excitement, right? Because that's your show. It's pure energy. We got pitches from just everyone who some of the topics were right on, which we really liked and booked, right? But others were just for me, showed such disrespect for what we were trying to do and such disrespect for our time in trying to book a show with fabulous experts. What impressed me the most about helping Tony book that show was when people emailed prepared. They had respect. They went right into the topic. They went right into the controversial aspects of the interview. They gave me the person's bio, why they were qualified to take a controversial point of view, any experience the levels they have. And they also mentioned whether or not they had media experience and what other shows they had been on. So you see in one email, right, which is very similar to our segment-style press release in the platform, they were able to convince me that this person was exactly what Tony was looking for. And I could actually move to the next step of booking this client for Tony. Now, the other ones, though, that would send me the fluff, I just felt disrespected. I guess that's the only word I can say, Tony. It was more like, how was I feeling when I was doing that? It was almost like they just didn't appreciate that we were in business to perform a certain outcome. And
they were totally devoid of any direction. I mean, you know, I think that what we had said was must be political in nature, must be now.
Mm-hmm, must.
Very controversial, very hard-hitting, mm-hmm. No soft topics. I mean, we went on and on and on. So Annie and I, just to fully illustrate what had happened, Annie and I decided that we would write people back and say, you know, listen, we had posted for something very specifically. We had put out, you're not following the guidelines. The answers we got back were, so? Now, those people those people ended up, not only did they end up in the garbage can, you kind of make a mental note of those folks, and you say, never do business with them ever again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't forget. Which, Tony, back to the original thought here, is why I'm unchallenged in this top 25 is because there's publicists out there who operate like that. They don't carefully target the shows. There are plenty of shows with plenty of profiles. And a show profile is what the show was willing to book, what their listeners expect them to book, why they're in business, why their advertisers want to put money with them, because they have a loyal audience. And they have a loyal audience by offering programming that they want to listen to. So they can't change their profile. If Tony did a light, fluffy personal growth piece when he's got a political-oriented, charged audience, they would laugh him off the air.
Well, and we even had one person write us that, you know, wanted to do something about picnics. And, you know, and again, we wrote them and said, you know, we wrote them and said, you know, how does this tie into what we were looking for? Well, we could do something about, you know, having political discussions while at a picnic. Yeah, that's real hard-hitting and controversial. Thanks for playing the game. But anyway, it goes beyond just that because people that don't follow simpler instructions, let's say you make a connection with the show and they're interested. Let's talk about the proper protocol there.
Oh, if you connect with the show and they are interested?
Yes.
Well, Tony, you're absolutely right, because if you give a pitch that's so wild and offbeat like that, I mean, it is the first test. If your pitch is very well developed and presented as a professional, that's your passing test number one. So let's say you hook up with a show and they are interested. They are going to go through certain other things now with you. They're going to go through a pre-interview with you. Now, the pre-interview, as we've said before, is very, very designed to see who you are and what you're most likely going to do on the show. Now, producers get in trouble for several reasons, okay, with their higher-ups. I mean, a producer is very much responsible for the content and success of their segment, of their individual segment. Now, they're responsible, so they'll get in trouble, and they'll lose their wonderful reputation within their organization if they book guests who sound only like they're promoting something. If they book a guest that is obviously not media-trained, not prepared, doesn't understand what they're talking about, doesn't understand, and we'll say the word soundbite, but I'd rather not use that exactly. I'd rather describe more how you give an answer that's more, you know, right on to the question. And guests who are not good on camera. So they get in trouble when they book, you know, a guest that's not prepared or not good, or who don't look like they thought they were going to look like. Who have given them a picture or a video, an older one or an older picture, and they don't show up looking like that after they've got approval. Remember, producers get approval on one set of circumstances, and it turns out another set of circumstances shows up on the set, right? So when they connect with you now, and Tony, can I just digress just a little?
Sure you can. It's your telesummer.
Is that a good word?
Anything you want.
Wait, what does digress mean?
Just like you want to go.
A second, right?
You want to go away from the conversation for a minute.
Okay. So, there. See, I'm very good with words. What I want to do first is, let's say, to get booked, though, there are some really keys to get booked, and this is what they'll want to see. Before you're booked, they'll want to see you present yourself as a professional. All right? So, let's say that you're pitching the show and they do show an interest and they give some instructions and they say, fax me or email me or call me, and they give you any time to do so. Make sure you note your calendar, because they have, and they take it seriously. They don't just say, they don't blow you off. I'll tell you some tips for blow off later, but if they're interested, they will make an appointment with you and they'll want to keep that appointment. And if you start to become a pest, okay, or you don't keep the appointment time, or you start to follow up at every other time other than the appointment time, okay, pest, and you won't make it to the booking, all right, because now they're trying to weed out trouble people. They want high-quality mature, savvy, media savvy experts who are going to do a fabulous job for them. So right in the beginning, you can start to raise concern. Like, for instance, let's say they tell you something in the conversation, and you have to call back 1 minute. What time is that again? Right? You can't do things like that. If you aren't sure of a few, like I said, I forgot to ask, blah, 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 make a list of your questions all at once and email them over all at once and maybe put some time in between so you don't sound like, well, she just told me that, now I got to email her again, you know, or him or her. So I recommend that you do try to realize this is a professional situation, and you want to treat it that way.
You know, and some of the other things that happen, just so you understand, there are two, for you, the guests, there are two hot moments. When they say yes and they're going to gather a bunch of information, you are their focus. Okay. They're going to give you so much of their time, you're going to think this is great.
Yes.
Now, let's say your booking's 3, 4, 5 days, 2 weeks away. Because it happens, they do book that far out on some shows.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to hear from them again until the day of, or maybe the day before. Maybe the day before.
You know, Tony, you're absolutely right, but yet the guest is obsessed.
Yes, because it's about them, and it should be.
Yeah, that is so funny. And they don't understand that once the producer says yes, they expect the guest to know that yes is yes, and they were going to call the day before and say, okay, we're all set, the car's coming for you, 6 a.m. in the morning. And the guest, if they don't know that they're supposed to be ready, you know, they could say, well, I didn't know. I thought maybe we weren't on because I hadn't heard from you. Once they say yes, the booking's for Friday, 7 a.m., we'll be there at 6 a.m., you better, yeah, count on that. Or they'll call the day before, and they'll expect to do a pre-interview, like late the day before for an early a.m. segment. You know why? Everybody works on a very tight time frame. It's really true. We do the same thing here, too. We work very fast. So some people laugh because I could have, let's say, an obligation. Let's say I have to present a set of talking points to a producer at 5 o'clock. I can actually start them at 20 of 5, and they'll be used on the air at 6. You know what I'm saying? That's how fast this business works. We're all used to really producing quickly.
So, you know, and one of the things, Annie, I think it's important people understand, don't take it personally. You know, don't take it. It's hard, especially, you know, you've got that great moment where they say yes and they get all the information, and you're emailing back and forth and you're calling back and forth, and then you do the show. And, of course, everything was great. So you call them a couple weeks later and expecting you're going to sit and just kind of BS on the phone with them.
No.
Not going to happen.
No, we're in a profession. This is a business. This is a practice. I mean, we're trying, the producers are trying to get as much, as many great ratings as they can for their show, so their show stays on the air. So we're always moving at high speed. There's, you know, it's like, well, we don't really go postal.
No, we have our moments.
No, but I'm thinking of the mail, you know, it never stops. You know, and I'm thinking, I can never have a job as a checkout grocery person because it just never stops. You're always checking out the food, right? Those are two jobs I could never have, right? Sorting mail. But yet in PR, it's very similar because we always are on the go. We're always looking for that next segment or placement, you know, and so are producers.
Right, and so the reality is we're moving on. No matter how great the show is,
mm-hmm, we're moving on. Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Producer, you know, and I happen to be a producer slash host, you know, I don't care how great yesterday's show was, you know, when I'm done at 6 p.m. Eastern time with my show, I'm thinking tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. I don't have
yeah,
a choice. I can't wait till tomorrow to think about tomorrow's show.
I know. And what's really nice is when people who do try to pitch know the format of the show and then pitch in a responsible, professional manner. Because once again, you're under the spotlight. If you're pitching like an amateur, they're going to be unwilling to have you on the show because it's going to be too scary to have you on the show. Because you could cost them their job if you do it wrong. So they're going to look for a professional at every step of the way, which means a well-thought-out pitch. That means a segment-style pitch. That is, you're going to tell what you're going to talk about, how you tie into news, generally, or how you tie into the current interest level of the population, what your credentials are that gives you the authority, okay, to be an expert on the segment, what are some points that you would like to cover, what are 3 or 4 questions that would be fabulous for the interview, and then complete contact information, even if you've given it to them many, many times before. All right, so that's a well thought out pitch, complete with availability and where you are located. All right.
Now, I'm just going to give somebody an example because this happened to me personally this week, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the publication until it happens. I got a call from a well-known national publication based on one of my websites, and they wanted the names of people to interview. They wanted to know if I knew anybody as a source.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 3 minutes of talking, and I said, you know, the part of the problem is I certainly don't give out anybody's personal information without their approval. Now, in a client relationship, it's different because that's what you're supposed to do. But these are not clients. These are people that I know. So I said, you know, she's going to go, you know, I just don't have time for that. Can't you just give me some number? I said, well, you haven't even told me what you want to ask about. So when they gave the topic, I said, well, I can comment on that if you need a quick quote. She went, well, I didn't think you'd have the time for me. And she said, but I need it now. I said, fine, I've got 10 minutes. Do you need one? No. So she called me again today, confirmed a couple of the quotes I gave her yesterday, and I'll know on Friday if it's going to run in a national publication. But I was available. I was there. I solved the problem. And, of course, I'm a media trainer, so I knew exactly what she needed. Annie, I knew exactly how she needed it. I delivered it exactly the way she asked for it.
Well, and that's having a do-it-now attitude. If you had said, if anybody like says, oh, well, let's schedule later, forget it. Do it now. If you have somebody on the line and they want to do a pre-interview, do it now.
Now, if they say, you know, I can't, then you're fine.
Right.
Then you're covered.
Then you'll know they'll get back to you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're offering, hey, listen, I'll stop what I'm doing right now and help you out if that's what you need.
That's right. Do it now.
Do it now.
Do it now because
do what it takes, Annie. Do what it takes.
You know that's President Bush's motto too. I saw that. He does. We'll do whatever it takes. Close enough, right?
No, not at all. Do what it takes on the Annie Jennings coffee mug is the one that matters for me.
Do you know we represent a presidential candidate, which I can't say, but I meant to tell you that, Tony. That we should say that, let people know.
I do know that
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, we do. We represent a presidential candidate for this year's election.
Okay,
that, guys.
Well, let's talk about some of let's see. Do we get to all the hates?
Well, yeah. I'll just go one thing. If a producer asks you about yourself and your pitch, you get them on the phone. You have to be ready. Never just say, go to the website, it'll all be there. Well, no, it's not going to all be there, right? Because most people don't understand how to do an author media website. So be ready with your 30-second pitch, all right? Now, don't let this go more than 1 minute, all right? This is your intro pitch about yourself and what your platform is, what you stand for, your 5 talking points, and all the topics you can describe, all within 1 minute or less. They want that fast. They're willing to sit there and listen. You are going to impress them. They're going to say, this is a great expert. They're professional. They deserve my time and attention. Let's work out a segment together. Never, never, never connect with a producer until you are ready. So you need to find out, well, what do I do to be ready to pitch a producer? And that is teleseminar number 2.
Well, you're right. That is for another teleseminar.
Another teleseminar, yeah. It has to do about really developing a segment-style press release so you can get your points down, the reason you tie in with the media, the reason you tie in with the show. We have a question, hon.
Let's go for
it. Okay. This is one about how do you know the profile of the show?
Well, that becomes easier. There's a free way. That takes a little more time, and that's obvious, Annie. Just go to the Internet, Google it, and go find their website.
And they usually tell you. Is that you? Are you okay?
I think I'm okay, yeah.
But we're just not sure, and I heard some clicking.
Well, you know, and I'm not in my office, so it could have been
okay.
On my end.
No problem. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, go to the website. They usually tell you the show's profile. That is what the show accepts, lifestyle, feature guests. Or sometimes the description will be a politically oriented show. So you don't want to go in with the picnic thing. All right. Now you can also get that through databases, various databases that you can buy. If you're serious about promoting yourself, you probably do buy either the Bacons.com media map list or media map list. And also, here's another really good tip too. You can always call as well. speak to the newsroom and just mention, you know, what is it, what type of guests do you prefer? You know, they usually think, well, if you're too professional, you'll find it out without calling me. But, you know, sometimes you have to do that. Just don't speak to the producer and say, what do you like? You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to then label yourself as not knowing what the show's all about. But you can find out by calling the show. If you're a local show, you want to search the headlines in your area to tie yourself in. That is how you get on your local shows these days. Because it's local. So obviously you want to stay in touch with any local crime situations, bills pending, legal situations, so on and so forth to get on the show. Since
yeah, and any local shows love local people.
Yes, they do.
They love local people.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your local shows. I mean, we have one in Detroit as well, Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And they make an effort. I can tell they make an effort to put as many local people on as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, producers can, here's another thing too, is that by knowing your pitch, who you are, what you stand for, what you're going to talk about, what questions you can ask, and what topics, right, you can be confident in your pitch because producers can spot a fake right off the bat. They're looking for it. They know that somebody who doesn't really know what they're talking about or hasn't prepared for the phone call to them is not going to do a good job on the show. So people who have substance have no reason to do other things, like pretend pitching or just trying to be extra nice and sweet on the phone. That's not going to get you anywhere. Only good, cold, concrete facts on why you'd be a great guest and with evidence, that is our platform, will get you the spot.
And, you know, let's give people something that's simple and true. The producers of radio and television shows are smaller fraternities and sororities than you think. They compare notes. They all go drinking after work. If they have a particularly good guest, and I work at Fox, and I'm sitting with my MSNBC cohort, I'm going to say, you know, you had Jane Doe on in the show tonight. She seemed like she was fabulous. That producer's going to go, but yes, she was. And the only reason we used her is because we didn't have anybody else. She was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
No one's going to book Jane Doe again.
Mm-hmm.
But it works the other way. You know, you had Jane Doe on tonight. She was great. You have no idea how great she was. She was prepared. She said everything in advance. She didn't hassle me about anything. You know, she was amazing. Here, let me give you her number. She's really good. So it works both ways.
Yes, it definitely does. We have another question here about Oprah. And I'm glad we're getting into this Oprah thing because I have some opinions on Oprah. And the best thing Oprah ever did was give away all those cars because it really supports the theory that with Oprah, you just never know, right?
Yeah,
and so
she keeps us
guessing. Myth number one, I can never be booked on Oprah. Myth number two, I will get booked on Oprah because with Oprah, you just never know. So, yeah, the question to this one, who sent me this, and then this is from Elaine, I would definitely resubmit to the show. Is my opinion, based on the story, since she submitted this over a year ago, they showed initial interest, and then the publicist, they went on to a hiatus, and the publicist that was pitching is no longer available to pitch. And so it's been basically left in limbo. But that's not really true, because the producers at Oprah, it's their job to really be aware of every book out there and every expert out there, so that when they're really ready to do a show, they're able to put the best expert in the field on that they feel would do the best job. I would certainly, though, reconnect with the show because one thing they don't mind are duplicate situations, very tolerant of being pitched more than once. So I would resend, and I think if you're leaving a lot of message on the producer's phone number, you know, maybe it's time to just do an email as well. Maybe that would be easier, too. Another thing that you can do is say, I've been trying to get in touch with you on my particular topic. You did have an interest in this. If I don't hear back from you this time, I'll just assume that you will give me a ring when this does work for you. And meanwhile, I'll be standing by. I certainly hope that I can help you on this segment, and I will keep you in touch with all my new books and new endeavors.
Now, I got to ask what I think is an obvious question to those that are listening to us right now. I got somebody from Oprah to actually call me or respond to me. How do I contain my excitement so that I stay professional? And I think that's a really illegitimate question.
Oh, my God, it's Oprah.
Yes. I mean, couldn't you see yourself doing that? Well, maybe not you, because you're kind of...
Oh, no. They've played tricks on me before. You know what I mean? Where somebody will call, like, well, Stacy, we have her in our Pittsburgh office. She'll call, and, like, let's say we have a new person or something working here. I'll just tell her it's Oprah, and the girl thinks it really is. Annie, Oprah's on the phone. Man, I fly. I jump. I leap over tables and desks and garbage cans and swing from the chandelier to get that phone.
Man, would I pay to see that. But, you know, so it is, I mean, you know, but how do you contain that? Because you want to stay cool and collected and calm and professional. I mean, they kind of expect you to go, nah, you're freaking me out. This isn't really Oprah, is it?
They do expect you to say that, yeah, because they understand and they're proud of the job that they do. And I think it's good to show initial excitement. I really do, because it just simply shows you're human. And I think they want to see your energy level as well. So I would say, if you go overboard, like really whacked out, and call everybody in the street over, oh, my God, it's Oprah, come on, listen, say hello to an Oprah producer. I mean, that would be, like, crazy. And then they think that, well, maybe you're a little too much. But initial enthusiasm is always, always appreciated.
Well, let me go back to something you said at the beginning of this particular topic about, you know, re-pitching them. Can you re-pitch every season? If you can actually find somebody to pitch to, is it okay
yes.
to pitch every season?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think a no with Oprah is not a no forever. It's a no for right now. Keep in mind, they're you know, very clever, and the car thing proved that. And I don't think anybody was going to pitch that segment. How would we do a segment on Oprah giving away 236,000 cars? So you don't know where they're going to go. They really are leaders in their field. Yes, pitch professionally. Pitch. Let them know you're out there. Let them know your area of expertise. They love that. And don't be concerned. They have a huge staff there, and they're not overwhelmed with submissions. They have a lot of submissions, but they've got the staff to handle it. As you know, you get a nice note back, you know, saying that they did receive your information. So that's very, very nice that someone has the time to do that. So
now, I know, Annie, recently, because I'm sure that this question will come up since we're on Oprah, we might as well just close the circle here.
Sure.
Until the last couple of years, you could actually mail to them. It seems like if you go to her website now, they only take email submissions through the website. Is that still true?
Well, the thing is that we can still send packages to them. Maybe we're on the cleared list because we don't have any trouble doing that. So they've never told us not to send directly to them. In fact, they always encourage us to send everything that we have. So I would say, Tony, the answer to that question is they probably do want to limit all the tons and tons of mail that they get. But from professionals, it's different, though. PR companies, we're in the business of sending. So we send a professional package, right, and we're allowed to get through the mail. But maybe they wanted to cut down on the thousands of millions, plus the whole anthrax situation, you know.
It all changed the dynamic. Well, anyway, the reality is, and I think that the good news is, go on and send it along and keep sending until, I guess, they did. And like you said, even a no from Oprah is not a no forever.
No, remember, they book up very quickly. Before they went on hiatus this summer, they were booked up for half the year. So that's why I want to tell you, don't wait for Oprah. When a client comes to me and says, I want to be on Oprah, it's because they feel that Oprah is the holy grail of success. And it's not. It is. Take that back. I mean, it is extraordinarily helpful to your success. However, there are other ways, you know, to get to where you want to go. You can do radio and reach tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of people. You can go after other TV shows. You can go after other print venues and still reach the country with your message. Oprah makes it a lot easier, but, you know, it may not be available to all people. Truly. So why put all of your eggs in the Oprah basket when your book is only live, literally live, in the bookstores for 8 weeks? At the end of 8 weeks, they're thinking, are we going to return or not return this book? So you really need your first 8 weeks to be blockbuster, so you can't wait forever for Oprah.
It's important, and I can't underscore this enough, because we are in an age where information moves so fast that it's harder and harder, although there's so much information available, because it moves so quickly, it becomes harder and harder for producers to absolutely guarantee that everything they have is 100% correct. You need to make that process simpler for them. If they do a pre-interview with you and you come into a studio or you go onto a radio show, or even if you're doing a print interview, and you don't end up giving the same interview on the same topic that you had already sat through a pre-interview with, not only are they going to lose their job, you will never do media again.
Never bait and switch. You are so right. Never change the segment. If you're going on as an expert in X, stay on X. If you go to Y and Z, you're in trouble. Absolutely. Yep. Everything is scripted. Everything is planned in advance. So you have to be consistent across the board.
You know, and even something as simple as don't send a glamour shots photo if you have a candid. Send the candid. They want to know what you really look like, not what you look like with a bunch of makeup on and the right lighting and the right airbrushing.
Yeah, because remember, you don't have to be gorgeous. You just have to be media camera ready. You have to look good on camera. That is, you have to look good. You can't be all scraggly.
Well, let me tell you, you can even get away with scraggly. I was watching MSNBC last night, and they had a guy on from U.S. News and World Report. Trust me, it's about what you know, not what you look like.
Well, I agree with that totally. I do agree with that.
I'm watching this guy, and I'm thinking, you know, and excuse me, everybody, if I offend you, but I'm thinking, Annie.
Well, he was my date.
Oh, stop. I'm just thinking to myself, you're so ugly, you distract from the conversation. I mean, he was just that ugly.
Hey, I'm going to have to edit this part out.
But that should give hope to all the ugly people in the world.
There are no ugly people in the world.
Okay, you're right.
You're right.
This just goes back to the issue of being honest.
All right.
Did I get away with that or not?
No, you didn't, and I'm going to edit that out, and everybody who's laughing out there know that.
Fair enough. All right. I'm not going to talk anymore. It's all you now.
Oh, no. All right. So here we go. I'll tell you some likes, and then we have to go back what happens after you are booked, because I know you asked me that a little bit earlier, is that make sure that after you are booked, if you commit to the segment, you be there on the segment. And always leave early. If they say a 7:30 arrival time, sometimes they cut it a little too close, in my opinion, for an 8 o'clock live. That doesn't give you a lot of time for traffic problems. So I would say be there at 7. Always ask, camera ready, or do you have makeup? Always ask the first phone call, will you send a car or not? Directions. If you need directions, send them over. Any special information on what do I do when I get there? Do I have to ring a phone? Do I have to go to the guard? How do I get up to where you're located? If you're not there, who is your assistant? So I can give the, you know, usually there is a guard, their name as well. What's your extension? What's their extension? You know, be prepared. Definitely almost memorize your talking points, that is what you discussed, and be ready. Have several talking points ready so that when asked about one thing, you could sort of go into an almost rehearsed answer and not just stare blankly. You will get cut short. Tony, even not only radio will cut you short when you go, my book, my book, my book, right? I'm trying to get Tony to talk.
No. I agree.
Right?
Danny, he really was that ugly.
No, I missed the show. I saw a show. I saw something O'Reilly. I couldn't believe my ears. Now, this is on Hannity and Combs. The guy said, if you guys fight, I'm getting up and walking out. And they handled that. That was very interesting, the way they handled that.
Yes, the in my book thing. You know, it is, especially when you're on air, when you're live.
When you're live and the unexpected happens, man, it's unusual. You know, that's where the media training comes in. Producers also love when a client is media trained. It makes a big difference because you've been media trained. You've made your mistakes where it doesn't count. You've heard yourself ramble. You've heard yourself say stupid things. You've heard yourself go off topic, off target. And a good media trainer will try to trick you. Will say something totally off the wall and see how you answer. And if you go for it, they'll pull you back in and say, you know what, that's a perfect example of what can happen.
Well, and I tell my clients, they'll start dialoguing about something, and they'll catch themselves. They'll go, I need to start over, don't I? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You really do.
No start-overs, no do-overs on live TV.
Not on, but in media training, thank God there is. And, you know, Annie, the KISS principle, keep it simple, silly. Just keep it simple.
I thought it was keep it simple, stupid.
Well, see, after the ugly remark, I was just trying to be nicer, that's all.
Oh, no, I have a funny story that would get me in trouble if I told it. It was about the supermarket.
We'll save that for morning coffee, then.
We'll save that if we ever get an afternoon or morning drive show, if we ever get, like, Discover, Tony.
There you go.
Right? This would be a good, funny one. All right. So here's some really good three concepts to a great interview. Be confident, be conversational. That is, know your info, no lecture. See the difference between, right? Everybody's been on the teleseminar where you get your lecture, you know, the one where you want to like go, where you want to hang up or something, or whatever people do when they're lectured. I know when I get a lecture, I think I do go to sleep. Don't you, Tony?
Sometimes I even go further than that.
At the school lectures, I mean, that's a good time to just really think and plan the future. And then congenial, be personable. You know what I mean? Like, just fun and happy to be there, thankful and laugh, and, you know, just have some of your personality shine through. It makes it fabulous. Fabulous. Yeah, be able to smile and you know, and be relaxed. And again, that comes with media training as well. And just know that if you do promote your book too much in a TV segment, even if it's supposed to be a 6 or 7 segment, they can cut you from the control booth. They can say, forget this, and they can actually signal down to the host and say, we're going to run short, and they're going to run short. Or the host will give them the clue, you know, the pre-rehearsed, you know, get this person off my show, and they will move on. They always have stuff, other stuff.
And Annie, I don't have people in studio when I do my shows, so my producer and I communicate through instant messaging software that's radio-specific. But there is just three simple keystrokes that I have to make. He understands exactly what it means. The guest mic goes off, and then I go into some excuse as to why this person's not with us any longer.
Well, I guess that's why you were saying earlier that everything has changed so much about the media, that you're right, it's so instant. People have so many other choices now. They don't have to put up with a bad guest because it's all about, remember, it's about ratings. They can't have somebody switching over to someone else's show and then finding out they like it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They can't have that ever happen. So it's all about ratings. It's the host's position to drive the interview forward and to make it exciting for the listeners. Your job as a guest has to be able to go with that. You know, O'Reilly's guests, they have to go with that. They can't get angry because they fight on the show. Like that one I told you about, that's part of the show's profile. An active discussion, lively debate series where you're going to get people like debating. It's not anger. That's the profile of the show. So for that guest to say, I'm going to walk, I felt that was, you know, somewhat unprofessional. It's more like, hey, let's all have a good time, and you guys argue amongst yourselves, and I'll fit my stuff in when I can. That would have been cuter to say that. You know what I mean? I mean, you ever walk off a TV show, and it's, like, ridiculous because the audience thinks, oh, what, they couldn't handle the heat or what? Yeah, and also about clothing, very important to know clothing. Please, by all means, ask the producer what they would like you to wear. Upscale casual, upscale business professional. Upscale business professional is always the way to go. Tie, shirt, you look fabulous on camera. Women, beautiful suit, something that fits comfortable, you know, and you'll be fine. And of course, the colors to stay away from. We all know, we may have heard this before, I guess the red vibrates, although you see that a lot on camera. You definitely want, pastel colors look really good in terms of a shirt, not too loud tie. And things start vibrating on camera, so you have to watch that. Pretty color suits, and then, you know, work very well, too. Hair should not be fluffy, only because something happens on camera with fluffy hair. It should be more or less smoothed down a little bit. It looks a lot better. All right. Fluffy doesn't look fluffy on camera.
Very good. Teacher, you had given me permission to leave a little early today because I have to do a radio show a couple hours earlier than normal. So
okay.
I am going to leave now. Annie, I want to tell people, whatever you're going to give away today, if this CD is available to people,
actually,
do it.
It is. It's going to be available. How did you know that?
Well, I didn't know that, but if it is available, trust me, this is my area. Annie has a lot of people on here, and I don't know a lot about a lot of this stuff. Trust me, this one's the treasure chest. Open it up and enjoy.
Is it really? Did you
it
think
is.
This was that good?
Yeah, it is that
it
good,
is?
Annie, yeah.
Yeah, from a producer's point of view, right?
Absolutely.
People really need to know.
Absolutely. Well, this is valuable information.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, it's the truth. You're so smart. How's that? Does that work for you?
Tit for tat. Oh, I know I'm in trouble.
Why is that?
Because of the ugly thing.
No, you're not with me. You're not in trouble. I'd be the one that's in trouble, not you. Anyway,
I can't date him. You're in trouble. Only, you know why? Because that was my date the other night.
Well, then I guess I am in trouble. I'll hear from you later on.
And I thought he was kind of cute.
Oh, too funny. Too funny. Well, I've got to go. I want to thank everybody for being here. I'm not going to be able to, if people are participating tomorrow, I won't be here tomorrow, but I'll be back next week.
All right, well, don't worry about a thing, and we'll talk later, and bye-bye, and have fun. And don't everybody hang up. I'm going to
Yes, Annie's not done yet.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, he's such a treat, isn't he? Now, here's what we do. Here's some free stuff, because we are closing. I'll just see if there's any more quick questions here. I don't see any coming in. And we will go to Annie, if you want to, go to Annie Jennings PR and AnnieJenningsPR.com. Okay, no other questions came in. And on the front page, now that's your front page, you can go down. We're going to have a replay of this. And as I said, this was new. So our replay line is, it's AnnieJenningsPR.com/digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L, digital.htm. Now, right now, the digital is not up because we prepare that. And they work some magic on it, and it happens. Later on today, you're going to be able to go on there and share this with your list and anyone you want because it's free. You're going to be able to go on, click that, and it will open with your Real Player or your Windows, whatever it is. There'll be instructions on there on what to do. You can also download it and save it for later. Meanwhile, though, I'll show you how to get to the page from the homepage. You're on AnnieJenningsPR.com. Scroll down. You see all that great stuff there now? But there's that free digital audio. It says listen free now. And you just click on that, and that's going to bring you to our digital page. You'll see that we have how to promote your book during the interview. That's with Tony. That's an excellent one. And create a powerful platform. So you can click on those in the virtual assistant as well. And you can use it in the MP3, meaning you can download to that little player thing they have. And you can listen to it in your MP3 while you're exercising. Great way to pass an hour. Later today, there's going to be this teleseminar up there. Right, and you'll be able to share this with your friends, with whoever wants to. It's there, and I really would love for you to share with everyone you know. So I guess that's all for today. Thank you, everyone. I guess I have to sign off now. All right, so I'll see you all next week. Actually, we don't have one tomorrow, but next week we'll be back. All right, we'll talk to everyone then. Bye-bye.